I have good news, and I have bad news. The bad news is this. We are all going to die. Everyone we know and love is going to die. The grave will have us all, and our flesh will be food for worms. But we read in the Book of Wisdom, God did not make death, for God formed man to be imperishable. In the image of his own nature, he made him man. So if God did not make death, why do we all die? By the envy of the devil, wisdom tells us, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. And his company is the entire human race, everyone descended of our first parents, who by their rebellion against the Father's eternal plan for his children, brought death into the world and suffering of every kind, and bequeathed it to their children, to us. If this were the only news, life would indeed be bleak, as many of the world's philosophies believe it to be. If death were the end of us, then we would have nothing to look forward to except eternal darkness and everlasting silence and permanent solitude and utter nothingness. But the bad news is not all the news. There is good news. There is very good news. And it is this. Our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed death and brought life to light through the gospel. I remember when I was a boy and would hear people say that Jesus is the Savior. I was confused. I thought, what do we need saving from? For a small boy, life was good, filled with limitless possibility. And so it is for all of us. It takes the grief of loss for us to begin to understand the reality of death. Sometimes, for small children, it's the death of a pet, experienced as a loss, and the reality of death begins to become real. But when we're small, even when people die, it's usually elderly members of our family. So if Great Aunt Betty dies, filled with wisdom and years, that's surely no surprise. It takes a little longer for it to come home. It was the death of a 19-year-old college boy, my classmate, that finally broke through my deafness and enabled me to hear the Word of God. Because what has to happen is we gradually understand that death is not something separate from me. It will inevitably find me. We are all going to die. And that's what we need saving from. We need to be rescued from the eternal darkness and the everlasting silence of the grave. And the alternatives are complete nothingness and everlasting glory. How did Jesus Christ destroy death? By his death and resurrection from the dead. And how did he die? Well, we read in the second lesson this morning from St. Paul that though he was rich, for our sake, Christ became poor, so that by his poverty, we might become rich. And this, of course, has nothing to do with bank accounts. Christ's richness was his divine glory, his identity as the Father's only begotten Son, the eternal Word by whom all things were made. It was that glory that he laid aside in order to become a man, to take our flesh in the womb of his virgin mother and dwell among us, subject to all the laws of life in this world, including suffering and death. In that wonderful exchange, we gave, the human race gave to God the only thing he did not have, the capacity to die. And in return, we received the restoration of the possibility of eternal glory. At every Mass, during the offertory rite, as the chalice is prepared, after the wine has been poured into the vessel, a single drop of water is added along with these words, "By the mystery or sacrament of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity." That's our half of the wonderful exchange. God became man so that men could become God. And that's why the grave will not hold us who are made a new creation in Christ. The question is, how are we made a new creation? How is this wonderful exchange actually applied in our lives? We who know that even Christians grow sick and suffer and die. And in the gospel this morning, we see two examples of how that is accomplished. Two miracles, two deeds of power. The restoration to health of a woman afflicted with a terrible hemorrhage, and the death of a little girl. In both of these miracles, it's important that we notice the physicality of the encounter. You see, God's grace is not simply an abstract idea to which we are asked to give our assent. God's grace, his free and unmerited favor, the gift that restores the image of God that was marred by sin, is always mediated through stuff, beginning with the flesh and blood of the Son of God made man. The Lord Jesus, in his own sacred humanity, is the primordial sacrament of our salvation, that is, the visible instrument who makes present on this earth and in our lives the grace of God. This woman, afflicted with a terrible hemorrhage, which the science of her time was unable to cure, in desperation, reaches out to touch the Lord Jesus. Because of the great crowd pressing in from every side, she can't even get close enough to grab his arm or touch his back. Instead, it's just the hem of his garment. But even that is enough. Because of her faith that in him she would find the restoration of health, she does. "Who has touched my clothes?" he asks. We know from other encounters that he knew the answer to this question before he asked it. It's the disciples whom he's teaching. "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And then he looks at the woman, who, like Jairus, in just a moment, falls down at his feet in reverential fear. And he says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This encounter of the woman and Christ is a type of the whole sacramental economy of grace. By water in holy baptism, by oil in confirmation and anointing of the sick, by bread and wine in the Holy Eucharist, through stuff, including the touch of a human hand in confession and ordination and marriage, by stuff is the grace of God mediated to us. This is not magic. This is the operation of faith, like the woman whose faith has saved her. But it is grace mediated through physicality. And we see it again in the home of Jairus. When they arrive, the little girl has been dead for some time, and yet the Savior sends everyone out except his three chosen witnesses, the same three who will be with him on the Mount of Transfiguration and in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is teaching them. Mark tells us that he took the child by the hand. He could simply have said, "Rise," but instead he takes her by the hand. Grace is mediated. And then he calls her, "Little girl, arise." As we've seen so many times, Mark loves the word immediately. Statim in Latin, stat. The woman who touched his garment was healed immediately, and now the little girl rises immediately. Peter, James, and John, Mark tells us, were astounded. Jesus is revealing his mastery over nature. He's revealing his mastery over the grave. And then perhaps the most beautiful detail of this encounter, Jesus said that the little girl should be given something to eat. He's just brought her back from death and restored her to his parents, and his first thought is that she needs something to eat. The point is, the grace of God understands our needs better than we understand them ourselves and provides for them when we seek the grace of God by faith. When Mass began this morning, we opened with the collect, the prayer which said, "O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light." That's the grace poured into us at our baptism, when we are changed from children of wrath into the children of God by the grace of adoption. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. And now we see that there are two paths open to every human person: a path of sin, error, darkness, and death, and a path of grace, truth, light, and life. To follow the path of grace, truth, light, and life, we need saving faith. And that is in itself also a gift that we receive for the asking. If, like the woman, in desperation, we turn to the Lord Jesus, if, like Jairus, in desperation, we seek out the Word of God, it is by saving faith that we tread the path of grace, truth, light, and life, and find our hope that though we must all die, the grave is not the end of us, because our Savior, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life to light through the gospel.